of the forlorn, misguided, and always disturbed people of this age who are scorching the earth with their desperate tears. Yet, in spite of the mercy given by our ever well-wisher, we do not heed his call, but change his words to suit our self-destructive material desires. Only the Yuga Dharma can disperse the agony of the morose conditioned souls in this world. Let it resound absolutely, awakening and arousing us all who sleep embedded in the lap of Maya. A simple process requiring nothing more than a humble state of mind, Srila Prabhupada showed by example how to be the servant of the servant. Though the most elevated devotee of God, he tolerated the world of fools and rascals, whose ignorance steeped in greed he defeated with pridelessness, respect, and the torchlight of knowledge. No one could surpass Srila Prabhupada in any way about anything. He is the world champion whose only mission is to deliver the message of Krishna. The paltry things of this world are of no interest to one who sees the Supreme Lord in everything. With this vision, Srila Prabhupada had at his disposal practically unlimited funds to perform his work in the service of the Lord. Completely renounced, he accepted his followers as Krishna's devotees sent by his Guru Maharaj to help him serve the Sankirtan movement. Overlooking our inadequacies, he engaged us all in Lord Chaitanya's army as foot soldiers on the battlefield, distributing his transcendental books, and pujaris, cooks, artists, secretaries, and book publishers at home. Seeing the pathetic plight of the conditioned souls rotting in this world and spurred by unfathomable mercy, Srila Prabhupada's words, like a soothing balm, lifts one out of the abominable ocean of repeated birth and death, placing him in the safe haven of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. A fallen living entity with no good qualities, I have taken birth in the Kali Yuga as a result of the long list of my sinful activities. Certainly that heart is steel framed, which in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration does not change when ecstasy takes place. Tears fill the eyes and the hairs stand on end. When will my heart change and my tears wash away the cataracts of pride blinding me from seeing the great good fortune you, Srila Prabhupada, have bestowed upon me. The association of a pure devotee whose every action is for Krishna, whose life is for Krishna, and whose love is for Krishna is very rare in this world. Srila Prabhupada, you remained with us for a very short time, but gave us the greatest benediction. How can we live in your absence? The only way to sustain our lives is to constantly and continuously hear from you. In this way, you will always be present, for you are present in your books, and your purports are the guiding light of our lives. Please let me not stray for even one day from complete dedication to hearing and following your divine instructions, thus giving up your cherished association. Your words are chimes on the tree of knowledge, which ring the truth in the hearts of submissive souls. Lord Chaitanya spoke Sri Shikshastika in the ecstasy of separation and proclaimed, I know no one but Krishna as my Lord. Humbly, at your feet, O beloved Srila Prabhupada, with a straw in my mouth, I beg to know no one but you as my master. I accept all that you say as the goal of my life and pray to offer Artik to your money in the form of constantly chanting the holy name of Krishna. Others may find solace and satisfaction in hearing from someone else or following someone else. It may also be said that I am old-fashioned or narrow-minded. But because I see the path to the spiritual world paved with your sacred purports, I choose the disciplic succession of which you are the golden link.
the heart only softened by, I can't see, my tears in the way. Sorry, I'm so sorry. I hate when people do this. All right. But it's very emotional. If we're going to have emotion about anything in the world, this is it. And if you don't have emotion, that is it. With our heart only softened by being beaten and bruised in this material world, I pray to remain fixed at your lotus feet, eternally hearing your divine message, patiently attentive for the opportunity to serve you. Your humble servant and daughter.
Lady lift, Mahamaya has. So Sesha Prabhu. Oh, how do you followed by Mahamaya has the list. It's circulating somewhere. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pachanane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschachade Satanane. Thank you, Samapriya, for that emotion filled offering to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, I'm glad it came out because it's what I wanted to speak about a bit this morning. Tamahar Prabhu started us off by talking about the gifts that Srila Prabhupada has given to us. And one of those gifts that I've been meditating on, which I think is extremely important, is fraternity. Now, I use the word fraternity not in a gender sense. Take it gender neutral here. Fraternity includes all of us. And I like the term fraternity as opposed to association because fraternity carries more emotion with it, more feeling. And that's what Srila Prabhupada has given us. But he's given a magical version of fraternity. And that magical nature of fraternity that Srila Prabhupada has given was brought home to me yesterday when I was speaking with Gaurhari Prabhu. Gaurhari Prabhu, during our conversation serving prasadam in the tent over here, asked me, did you know Madhavisha Prabhu, who just recently passed away, our godbrother Madhavisha? And I told him no. But then it struck me that Madhavisha was at Morning Star Ranch, along with the other devotees that came out of there, including Madhavisan. So they had a relationship from those times. So I said, oh, you knew Madhavisa, obviously. You were there with him from the very beginning. And then he told me that in the course of the almost 50 years since they had that association, for some time, they were in touch with one another and communicating and associating. But 40, 50 years is a long time, not only for them, but for all of us. And our relationships with devotees sometimes are there and they sometimes become separated in the course of time. And for years and years pass by without the opportunity to talk with and in exchange with those who we had a deep relationship. And that's what fraternity does for us. Fraternity creates a network, a net in which we have and maintain associations with one another over the span of our entire lives. Again, approaching 50 years for some of the relationships amongst us. As I look around the room, I can see people who I knew as a fellow brahmachari, who later got married and had kids, and their kids grew up, and those kids had kids, and before you know it, a whole life passed before us. But it's a life in Krishna consciousness, filled with Krishna conscious memories. But here's the magical part. Gaurhari was telling me that just about 1 month ago, Madhavisa all of a sudden out of the blue called him. He hadn't been in touch with Madhavisa for decades. That's the nature of time and relationship. But Madhavisa called him because he was working on some memoirs that he wanted to publish, and they started a regular correspondence again, regular communication again, in what turned out to be the last few weeks of Madhavisa Prabhu's stay here in this world. And they grew close again, just as they were at the very beginning when they came to Srila Prabhupada together at Morningstar Ranch in 1967 or 68, whichever it was. And Madhavisa reminded Gohari of Prabhupada. And Gohari reminded Madhavisa of Prabhupada. In this way, they exchanged that deep relationship that was over there over the span of their lives. And he said to me that Madhavisa so much wanted to make it to Rathiatra. He so much wanted to make it. He knew he was in his last days, but he wanted to make it to Rathiatra. And I have to think that connection with his old friend, Gohari, was one of the things that helped him make it. He did make it to Rathiatra, and then just subsequent to that, 2 days later, he left this world. These relationships we have through fraternity will maintain us, and they'll take us to the feet of Srila Prabhupada, because that's the center of our relationship. That's why we know each other. That's why I can appreciate the emotion of Samapriya. She was in L.A. in the 70s. I was in L.A. in the 70s. She was a book distributor. We always heard her name doing big on Sankirtan. And here it is 40 years later, and she's seeing the spiritual world paved with Srila Prabhupada's purports. That's very inspiring, and it's a personal inspiration because, as I said, she was in, of course, I was a Brahmacharya. I didn't know anything about it. I just heard her name in the Sankirtan scores. But they were always big, and I knew she was dedicated in that way. So it's good. It's good to have this fraternity and have a basis to express our emotional feelings towards each other and Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you. So I was in San Francisco in 1970. Madhavisa was the president, and I was there helping with Rathiatra. So they spent what should have taken about 2 months. The system was they would start 2 weeks before. And we, as I remember, were working around the clock, and we were sleeping about 4 hours a night on average. That's all of us. And so Madhavisa made a vow for those 2 weeks that he wouldn't sleep. He would stay awake and just work. And I remember he lasted 2 days. And I remember on the third day, I got up in the morning and I saw him at his desk with his head on his desk. And I mentioned that to him maybe 10 years ago. He didn't remember. I distinctly remember. Okay. So Mahamaya, you can speak. And then Shankar Prabhu can speak.
So, my favorite place in the universe to connect with Srila Prabhupada is in his quarters in Mayapur. And while I was sitting in those quarters in a darshan with Srila Prabhupada, I so strongly felt that every devotee in the movement would have given their eye tooth to be there as well. And I felt that I had to share those memories. And it took many years before I finally wrote a book of my memories, but I finally wrote Srila Prabhupada is coming, and yet those and actually in those in I sometimes have to read my own book to remember, because in the 14 years since I wrote it, I forget things. But that whole experience of just watching Srila Prabhupada in his rooms, even if I didn't understand what he was saying, if he was speaking in Bengali or maybe he even sometimes spoke Hindi, but you know, most of the time he was speaking English in those evening darshans. But just watching Srila Prabhupada was so wonderful. Just, I mean, people have described how he, you know, pour water in his mouth without touching the cup. Just continually pouring water, which personally I can't do that, but it was so just majestic. Every movement, every glance, it was just amazing to watch. And I felt like I have to be Krishna conscious because I don't want to disturb his meditation. So, you know, his presence just was uplifting. I mean, of course, that word charisma comes to mind, that, you know, he just had incredible shakti to, I mean, in terms of spreading Krishna consciousness, it's practically indescribable how much impact he had on not just our lives, but people have been mentioning already, just on in the world, like how vegetarianism has spread or different things which we can't necessarily say to the general public, this is because of Srila Prabhupada, but we know it is. But anyway, let us explain that I was avoiding going to Prabhupada's personal darshans months before when he was in Vrindavan, because I felt, I had been trained by Damodar Das in Washington, D.C., that we were not to gawk at the spiritual master. This, like the things that I was trained in were just so clear, like this is the truth and I have to do this. And so that concept of it's better to serve, it's better you doing something in service than just sitting there and watching the spiritual master. So I was avoiding going to his darshans, and instead I would like clean Prabhupada's quarters or do something practical, until I finally went to one darshan in Bombay, now Mumbai, and it kind of broke the ice. So then when Srila Prabhupada came to Mayapur and I was living there, I somehow became Pishima's servant, and she wanted to go to darshan every night. So I had a perfect excuse. That was my key. And Pishima didn't speak English, but she loved to sit there and listen to Srila Prabhupada. She had her place in the corner. She would sometimes take the bolsters and pile them up one on top of the other so it make it a little more comfortable to sit, and also to make up more room for the devotees to fit in. And the room is very small. I mean, when I go there now, and except I've been going to Mayapur every year, and I go to his quarters, and I mean, nobody in that room is very far from Srila Prabhupada. It's a very small room. But still, we would be as far away. She would be in the corner. And some of the memories. The Bengali devotees normally didn't go to the darshan, the local Bengali devotees. There was maybe 100 at that time in Mayapur, and about 25 or 30 Western devotees. That was the entire population of ISKCON Mayapur. So the Bengali devotees had been cultivating sugarcane, and then they harvested it and they made it into gaur. Actually, they had to rent equipment from the local people, and it was a big production, and we were watching it happen, and then they took some of that gore. I think they might have mixed a few peanuts in it to make it a little more exciting, but they took that gore and brought it to Srila Prabhupada. It was the men who had worked on it and their wives, and maybe five or six couples came in with this offering of gore, and they presented it to Srila Prabhupada. And of course, they were talking in Bengali, and so I couldn't understand, but I could just watching Srila Prabhupada interacting with the Bengali devotees was just a loving exchange and Prabhupada's appreciation. And he was just so merciful, and that was just wonderful to watch. Then there was a time that Pancharatna Das Brahmachari at that time had gone to New York, and then he came back to Mayapur. He was a Mayapur devotee, and he was working on different projects in Mayapur. And when he told Srila Prabhupada he just came back from New York, whatever the conversation that was going on just came to a stop, and Prabhupada started talking about New York. And he started talking about Times Square and Central Park and just lovingly talking about New York. And I happened to be born in Manhattan, grew up in a suburb of New York, and it was just so amazing to be hearing Srila Prabhupada speaking in the Holy Dham about New York and appreciating it. It was just, I mean, it was really bizarre to me, but I just appreciated Srila Prabhupada's appreciation of New York because he got his start there. You know, he came to New York and started the Hare Krishna movement, and how successful it became, but he didn't forget New York. And another time, devotees from California had sent the first Balaram Madrunga, because devotees were dropping Madrungas, clay Madrungas, they're not forgiving, they break when they drop. And so the devotees had developed a fiberglass Madrunga, and Ishan Das had done it, but he didn't bring it to Mayapur, he sent it with someone else. And I think it was Sudama Maharaj who brought it into Prabhupada's quarters. And he did it, he's an actor, he did it in a very dramatic way. He just came in like this back veranda door of Prabhupada's room, and he held up the Madrunga really high. And we all noticed that he was standing there holding this Madrunga, and then he just let it go, and it fell on the floor, and it bounced. And everybody gasped. I mean, it was just, striking. And then he picked it up. He said, "Look, Srila Prabhupada, it's made out of fiberglass. It's not breakable." And after we kind of all got over the shock of all this, and then Srila Prabhupada held the Madrunga, played it a little, and then he handed it back and he said, "Kirtan." And then the rest of the darshan, we had kirtan. And okay, the last thing I just want to say is, I asked some really stupid questions of Srila Prabhupada, and this is the most stupid one, but people always appreciate the dumb things that we do, and I was just waiting for a time when I would be alone in the room with just Pishima and Srila Prabhupada. I mean, Prabhupada's servant usually was there at all times, and so that one time this is just so happened, it was just the three of us in the room. And because Pishima didn't speak English, I felt like I was alone with Srila Prabhupada. I could say what I wanted. And my stupid question was, I wanted permission from him to wear white. I was 29 years old, and I was thinking that I was never going to get married. I had come to the movement married, but then my husband didn't become a devotee, and so I was... Anyway, I don't even know how I asked that question. I don't know what I said. All I know was Srila Prabhupada's reaction to my question was, "Why do you have any doubts?" I don't know what I said. That's what his reaction was. And I immediately was, I don't know if I verbally defended myself. I was pretty inarticulate usually in Srila Prabhupada's presence. But if I had doubts, they were gone. I mean, there was no room for doubts. And then Srila Prabhupada's answer was that I should speak to my GBC. And I just so got that, it was not his level of management. And then years later, when I was writing my memories and I was thinking about this event, I was thinking how so many devotees had the opportunity to ask Srila Prabhupada questions, and they would ask intelligent questions like, how can I serve you? Like the question he asked his spiritual master. Or, some intelligent question that would make a difference in their lives. But anyway, I did what I did. Can't change it. And, you know, I did wear white for 9 months or something and pretended to be a sannyasini or something and whatever we thought that was. And then came back and been married now for almost 36 years. So thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
Nilananda? Oh, Shankar. Okay. Shankar, followed by Tosi Priya, followed by Nilananda. But I want to tell a little story, because you mentioned about darshan, and I had the opportunity of living in Los Angeles for quite a while, and Prabhupada spent most of his time in the early days in the West in Los Angeles. So he was having darshan every night, and of course the rank and file never got to go, so you'd have to ask the sannyasis or GBCs. When they came out, what did he say? And can you switch off for a second? So one night he came out and said, what was he talking about? And he said he was talking about how they build ships inside bottles, the process of building a ship inside a bottle. Said, oh, okay. You know, a new devotee, we're trying to understand. Whereas Achyutananda Prabhu once said that they were, Prabhupada was talking about some material things, and one devotee was in anxiety, so he said something Krishna conscious. And Prabhupada said, why are you bringing in Krishna? We're talking about Maya.
I try to tell some different stories. I've been telling the same stories every year. In 1975, Srila Prabhupada asked me to come to Vrindavan for the opening of the temple and to cook the and manage the offering that was supposed to be made. Silapurva came, Prasimha came, Prasimha Prabhupada's sister came, and Anand, Bhakti Siddhanta's personal cook came. And he made three chutneys, and he showed me how to make it. He was very old, he was in his 80s. And so I managed everything, and when I got there, I asked the Prabhupada, should we make 108 preparations? And Prabhupada told me, he said, you make just a few preparations, but you make them first class. So I made 64 of the 108 preparations that were offered. And then Srila Prabhupada did the first artik, and I kind of like cooked the first offering, or the deities there in Vrindavan. And then another story. In 1976, Prabhupada asked me to go to Hyderabad. So they made me head pujari. And I didn't know very much about being a pujari, but they made me head pujari. So they had made five outfits for the deities for the opening and for the, you know, were made out of chiffon. Very cheap outfits. And I didn't like them. So me and Srikar, we would make a list, big list. We'd go to all these different shops and we'd pick out the most finest, the most expensive Banaras silk chiffon saris. The best of everything, silver gold-plated crowns, silver gold-plated flutes, everything, jewels, everything. And we make a big list. And then we go up to very rich people in Hyderabad. And we knock on their door and they will come and we say, what are you going to give to Krishna for Janmasthami, for his birthday? And then we give him this big list. And I say, pick something. And they would give me the money, they would pick something, then I would purchase it, then I would bring it back to their house, and then they would bring it to the temple, and I would put it at the feet of Radha Madha Mohan, and they would do their puja and everything. So anyways, make a long story short, I made seven of the most beautiful outfits you have ever seen in your life. I made them. I had my own personal male tailor. I designed them. And I made these beautiful outfits, 5 night outfits, all the backdrop for all the D's. And I sent pictures of all of them to Srila Prabhupada before he passed. And I also had this life member who was going to donate all this pure copper. And I wanted to make hands and feet for Lord Jagannath and gold plate them. So I also sent that with the pictures that I sent to Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada couldn't write, so Tamal Krishna dictated, Prabhupada dictated to him, and he wrote me a letter. And Prabhupada told me, yes, you can put hands and feet on Jagannath. And then he said, I really appreciate what you've done with these deities. I want you to spend the rest of your life in Hyderabad. And here I am, and I watch this. And then one time at the Hyderabad farm, Prabhupada came to the farm. And they had this big feast that evening. And yeah, I don't know if you've seen that picture of the big tree with that cement big circle going around. It was on a BTV cover. Anyways, they didn't clean up after the feast. And that whole circle was covered with prasadam. I mean, they put Prabhupada's Vyasa sign on it. I never seen Srila Prabhupada so mad. Never have I seen him so angry. He got on the Vyasa sign and started screaming and yelling in Hindi and all kinds of Bengali, whatever, to all these Indian devotees that were there, just screaming and yelling at him. And then there was one devotee who was in this room, and he had jaundice. And Prabhupada said, who's in that room? And the Mahamda said it was this devotee. Said, he's a demon devotee. And then Patita Pavan, I don't know if you know Patita Pavan, he has the real long hair. He pulled out a jackknife right beside Prabhupada on the Vyasa sign. He was scraping the concrete, and Prabhupada looked down and said, save that for your throat. And then I took a bucket of water and a scrubber, and I cleaned the whole thing, and that was that story. So that's 3 stories that I never told before. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Tulsi Priya. Followed by Leela Nanda.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Kordavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschita Shitarine. I really wasn't expecting to speak. Every time I've ever signed up before, there was never any time, and I didn't want to speak, but I was asked twice, and I said, well, if there's nobody left, then I guess I'll go. So I didn't really have anything prepared, but then something popped into mind as I was sitting there, and it immediately caused tears to flow from my eyes, and I thought, well, this must be a sign. So everyone is familiar with the story of Dhruva Maharaj, and I believe that the word Dhruva means steady or determined, correct? And so what I was remembering that caused me to start crying was a purport from the story or the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. And let me just make sure I've got the right spot because I went back. So as we know, Dhruva Maharaj, he attained the favor of Lord Vishnu. He ruled for many thousands of years. I think it was 36,000 years. He fought the Yakshas and had to be told to calm his anger, and he did. And then after some time, he was taken to Vaikuntha on a flower airplane. And as we also know, As he was going to Vaikuntha on his airplane, he was thinking of his mother, who was his first guru. When he wanted the throne, his mother said, "I can't help you. I'm just a woman. I'm not even a favorite wife. You have to go to the forest and seek Lord Vishnu, and he can help you." So she didn't even tell him to get like a bona fide guru. She just gave him direct instructions, and off he went. And then, as we know, Narada Muni came along and gave him specific instructions, and which he followed with great determination. And then when Dhruva Maharaj was on his way at the end of his life back to Vaikuntha, he was in the flower airplane, and he thought of his mother, and he's like, "Oh, I can't go back without her." And I may not be remembering this or saying it absolutely correctly, because I just thought of this now. But what really struck me about that was the purport in which Prabhupada, I'm just going to read it, and then hopefully I'll be done soon enough. So the verse goes, "The great associates of Vaikuntha Loka, Nanda and Sunanda, could understand the mind of Dhruva Maharaj, thinking about his mother. And thus they showed him that his mother, Suniti, was going forward in another plane." Purport. This incident proves that the Shiksha or Diksha Guru, who has a disciple who strongly executes devotional service like Dhruva Maharaj, can be carried by the disciple even though the instructor is not as advanced. Although Suniti was an instructor to Dhruva Maharaj, she could not go to the forest because she was a woman, nor could she execute austerities and penances as Dhruva Maharaj did. Still, Dhruva Maharaj was able to take his mother with him. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj also delivered his atheistic father, Hiranyakashipu. The conclusion is that a disciple or an offspring who is a very strong devotee can carry with him to Vaikuntha Loka either his father, mother, or Shiksha or Diksha Guru. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, "If I could perfectly deliver even one soul back home, back to Godhead, I would think my mission, propagating Krishna consciousness, to be successful." The Krishna consciousness movement is spreading now all over the world, and sometimes I think that even though I am crippled in many ways, if one of my disciples becomes as strong as Dhruva Maharaj, then he will be able to carry me with him to Vaikuntha Loka. I've already done my crying. I don't know if anybody else brings tears to the eyes, but it always does for me. So the reason I bring this up is for the past 6 months I've been involved in my very crippled and limited way in college preaching. And, you know, I don't need to tell anybody that it's not easy. One thing I must say, though, is that, you know, after preaching from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, usually Bhagavad Gita, the one thing, in my opinion, really seemed to wake up the students and grab their attention and capture their emotions a bit more was when we started reading from, first we started reading from the Lilamrita, the short version. And as I was reading, they were asking me, "What's this book?" And they were like instantly on their smartphones looking up on Amazon for the book. And then we were later on reading from Mukunda Maharaj's memoir, Miracle on Second Avenue. And I tell anybody who's interested in Krishna consciousness, who's a young person, I said, please study Prabhupada's books, but also study his biographies. You know, the Lilamrita, in my opinion, is first because it's very comprehensive. The diaries are very comprehensive. And I like Mukunda Maharaj's book very much. I said, but that's the gold standard of guru. And when you understand Prabhupada by his example, then you'll understand who is really your guru and how to proceed in Krishna consciousness. So that's really all I have to say. Sorry it's not better prepared. Hare Krishna. Jai Prabhupada.
I just wanted to add something which I forgot to Shankha Prabhu's. I was at the installation of Rukmini Dwarkadish in Los Angeles, and something similar happened. And they had one of those rugs that they use in the pandal. And so what they did is they made a little platform, put it in the center of the temple. As far as I remember, this is what happened. And they took that rug, which was just a rug we always would walk on, and they put the deities on that rug. And Prabhupada just let loose on the devotees. How can you put God on a rug that you walk on with your feet? So it just shows where we're at. But Prabhupada was very upset. And then one other thing, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Tulsi Priya was talking about, she said something that sparked this thought of Prabhupada's humility, and, or bringing the disciple, bringing the guru back to Godhead. Prabhupada wanted in the early days, just like we heard about book distribution, that came about 73, really strongly, 74, very strongly. But prior to that, it was open 108 temples. That was the mission. So that's why we opened. As soon as there were five devotees in a temple, few would go out and start a new temple. That was the mood. So Prabhupada said to the devotees, he said, please open 108 temples so that I can feel when I die that I've satisfied my spiritual master and I can happily die and go to hell. And then the devotees said, naturally, what are the devotees going to say? Prabhupada, if you're going to hell, we're coming too. We want to be with you. And Prabhupada said, no. He said, no. He said, you are devotees, you're going to Vaikuntha. He said, I'm going to hell. Hare Krishna. I have to turn that switch on.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I was just listening to the previous offering and the Prabhupada says in the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita, if one person becomes a pure devotee, I will consider my mission successful. But in a class in Los Angeles in 1972, Prabhupada says that 6 years ago, I came to your country with this pair of kartos, and then he choked up. And now there's so many of you, so many of you. And now many more, actually. I was giving a class somewhere, I think was Chaupati. There were hundreds of people, and I asked how many came after Prabhupada left the planet, and almost everybody raised their hands. So most of the devotees came after Prabhupada left the planet. So Prabhupada, I am trying to distribute your books. I was a book distributor when I joined, and I'm trying to do that again. Now, I'm better known as computer doctor than as a book distributor. However, in my business, I have a display of your books. And people come and they buy the books. And the other day, a lady came and I was on the phone and I told her, just a moment. And while she was waiting for me, she picked up a book and she was reading. And then after I finished my call, I spoke to her and she said, wow, this is the best thing I read in years. This is real yoga, not the thing they sell here in America. And I told her, yes, this is real yoga. And then I found out that she's a writer, actually, and she has several books written and published that sell on Amazon.com. And the other day, a man came, and he is a professor at Santa Fe College, and his wife is a professor at UF. And he took a higher taste book. And a few days later, he called me and said, you know, we got a problem. I said, what is the problem? Well, my wife and I are trying to cook these things, but we can't find ingredients. So where do we find ingredients? I said, well, there's an Indian store there in Gainesville that I told him to go there. And last week, actually, a man came, and he took a book, and then he said, you know, my wife would like to have a japa mala. I said, okay. And I have a bag of japa malas that I brought from India when I was doing some preaching in New York at my home. And there's still lots of japa malas there. So I went and got the best one and gave to him, and he gave $20. So we're trying a small way to distribute your books. I would like to just go everywhere and just distribute your books. Last year I was in Europe traveling with the European tour. And we were in a place in England called Plymouth. And I was distributing books. Actually, I sold all the books they had. They didn't have many anyway. But every single person that I offered a book, they took the book. It was like so easy to distribute books. It looks like it's so easy, easier now than before. I remember being kicked on the leg, being spit on. No, nobody treated me like that. They were just buying the books. So your movement is going well. One reporter wrote recently, and I read this and I thought it was interesting. He said that although the Hare Krishna movement is not expanding as much as they, the Hare Krishnas, wished. The values of the Hare Krishna movement is speeding ahead, or speeding ahead of them. Like Mother, I think it was Mother Shuka that said before, vegetarianism. I was reading about a group of young people that want to be celibate. Now, our values are spreading, and sometimes people don't make the connection, but definitely the vibration is there. And I want to thank you, Prabhupada, for allowing me to be here in Alatra. This place is so special. I've been in temples that you could not find somebody to play mridanga, if you could find a mridanga. But this is not a criticism, just mention. But in this temple, sometimes it's hard because they have so many people playing mridanga, you know. So this is like a blessing, and just being here is a blessing. And I want to give a suggestion to Mother Mukia, our super duper president, that she should make a video of Alatra, you know, with all the different aspects and people saying Ambarish and Achyutananda and Alatra, there's no best. And just send it on YouTube everywhere. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you, Leonanda. Vishaka Prabhu, are you here? Can somebody... Is she in ear distance? She's coming, okay. Vishaka Prabhu and then Dhruva Maharaj. Well, let's let Yadavar go after Vishaka Prabhu. And then if anyone else would like to speak, if we just need your name on the list.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvasesa Sanyavadi Paskyata Deshatane. Just yesterday I was reading the Bhagavad Gita, some verses, and I read this verse from the second chapter where Krishna tells Arjuna, some look upon the soul as amazing, some describe the soul as amazing, some hear about the soul as amazing, and some, even after hearing about the soul, can't understand anything at all. So I was thinking about that in relation to Srila Prabhupada, that what he did was just amazing. And even the first time I heard about what he did, it was amazing, but somehow as the years go by, it becomes increasingly amazing. We just celebrated the 49th anniversary of the time on August 13th, 1965, when Srila Prabhupada, with just a trunk of books, got on the Jaladuta. Just one or two people were there to see him off in Calcutta. He had no money that he could use in America, 40 rupees that was not exchangeable. He never met anyone in America. He was 69 years old. I mean, when I think about that, now that I'm approaching that age, it's just beyond comprehension. It's just astounding what he did. Plus the way that he suffered physically aboard the Jaladuta without any medical facilities at all, not even knowing what his problem was. And then he comes, you know, and perhaps many of you weren't around in the 1960s, but the young people in the 1960s were different from the way they are now in terms of their habits. There was rampant drug abuse, rampant sexual liberalities. People would go around without clothes on. I mean, it was madness. It was really madness. And you have Prabhupada coming from this very traditional culture, entering the scene where the young people are animalistic, we could say,
And, you know, what he must have been thinking, seeing that, and yet seeing past that also, seeing that there's a spark there, and somehow igniting that spark, fanning it and igniting it to create Vaishnavas. And now that he's left, and we have the beautiful things that he's left us with, we have each other, we have the mandirs that he's left us with, and we have the philosophy which we can continue to grow with individually and collectively. And whatever else is happening, we always have this message implanted in our hearts, and we know how to water it so that it becomes fully blossomed. So Prabhupada writes in his purports in the Srimad Bhagavatam that one who thinks that one can repay one's debt to the spiritual master, that person is a laughing stock. So we have a debt that we can never repay to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Yadavar Prabhu is going to speak now, followed by Sri Tatma. And we do have a Vyas Puja book that she wanted to read from. I am envious of Vishakha. She is such a good writer. One time a devotee came to me and said, I am envious of you. But that's actually a compliment. And Prabhupada said, if you're envious of somebody, you're actually complimenting them. And he said, if you're envious of someone, it means they have something you want and you should serve them. So find all the people you're envious of and compliment them and realize that you're actually glorifying them and serve them. Hare Krishna.
Nama Om Shivadaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gaudavari Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Vaskatare Sadane. Thank you so much for attending today. This glorification of Srila Prabhupada. When I came in the temple this morning, one devotee said, look, Srila Prabhupada with his disciples. And I could totally identify with that. But then we think of Lord Ramachandra with his monkey army, what they did for him. So we have unlimited disqualification, speaking of myself. Filled with material desires, always hankering for material enjoyment, envious of others, the list goes on and on. But we cannot stop trying to serve Srila Prabhupada. And that really can be our qualification, even though we have so many faults, even though we may fall here and there, fall down so many times, whether it be gross or subtle. These things are going on. But just like a child, the propensity of the child is to walk. And the child never gives up, right? Mothers, we know, fathers also. They fall how many unlimited times, but unlimited times they also get up. And they never give up. So Prabhupada, there is one beautiful story in our that actually Sankirtan Prabhu related. He was in a darshan with Srila Prabhupada in New Vrindavan. He was in the front row somehow, and there were many, many sannyasis also there, GBC sannyasis. And Srila Prabhupada looked directly at him, a lone brahmachari, and he said, are you trying to understand my books. And Sankirtan Prabhu was so flabbergasted at that question, he couldn't speak because Srila Prabhupada was addressing him over all others in the room. And his answer was, actually he didn't give an answer, but in reflecting on that, he was very moved that Srila Prabhupada said, "Are you trying to understand my books?" So understand Prabhupada's books is not an easy task. But Prabhupada appreciated if someone was just trying. So we see so many devotees who are still trying after so many decades of service. And my conviction is if we give up trying, then that's a very sad state. Because we can easily fall away. That's our saving grace, that we can, at least we are trying. I'd like to read an offering by His Holiness Radhanath Swami, which reminds us of our current attempt to continually glorify Srila Prabhupada in the medium he asked us to serve in, and that's the film media area. And he writes, "Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my heartfelt obeisances, all glorious to your divine grace. Today I was reading the manuscript of Shyamasundara Prabhu's upcoming book chronicling his incredible experiences with you. He takes us to your side, watching and listening as you fearlessly yet gracefully share your timeless message of pure devotion for Krishna. From a storefront in the Hyde-Ashbury, overcrowded with confused, drugged-out hippies, to the coveted home of John Lennon with the Beatles, and back to India, where you moved among industrialists, politicians, villagers, and Kumbh Mela sadhus. Then we traveled with you around the world, behind the formidable Iron Curtain in Moscow, and then on to Africa, the Orient, Europe, Australia. And still today, your miraculous pastimes continue to astonish us." I'd just like to add that Shyamasundara Prabhu, as Prabhupada's secretary during these travels, would send updates, letters describing the journeys. And they were just incredible. Remember those? Incredible letters. They just filled everyone with enthusiasm and energy. We'll continue. "While taking this journey with you, we are astounded to witness how you appreciate the spiritual potential in everyone, everywhere. After your first ever airplane flight, you explained it all with a simple analogy. Above the clouds of Maya, the sun of Krishna is always shining. The open secret of your life is in your unconditional love for Krishna, your total surrender to the will of your Guru Maharaj, your limitless faith in Krishna's holy names, your unwillingness to compromise Lord Chaitanya's essential teachings, and your inexhaustible compassion for all beings. You are teaching us that the highest preaching is simply to love Krishna and be his loving puppet, and to dance as he wishes us to dance. Please accept my life as your property forever. Your servant, Radhanath Swami." So I'd just like to thank also the young devotees who have joined our team in making this current film on Srila Prabhupada's life. There's Lauren and Cora Lee, both from Australia, young devotees. There's also Krishna Shakti, who's come from L.A. Now, these devotees never met Prabhupada. They're young, they have enthusiasm, they have energy, and they're really doing this voluntarily. This is a voluntary thing that they've come forward to do. So this just is a glorification further of Srila Prabhupada's potency in giving us association, the temples, a whole life, a new life. So I want to thank them, and I want to thank all the devotees here who are still trying. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.